Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music. Or, for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit TakeTwoRadioMusic.com.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio Music. I'm Pam, your host. I hope you are having a wonderful day. Beautiful sunny day in Chicago. I just wish it would stay like this, but we know winter's coming. Wednesdays are super special for me because I get to have an awesome guest with me. And today my special guest is singer-songwriter from Texas. Welcome, Eric Neff. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Pam. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. So you're in Texas, correct?
I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I hear you're talking about the weather down here. It's a pretty hot one today, as well.
Well, I'm jealous.
But I know how cold it is. I know how cold it gets up there. One of my best friends lives up there. I know how cold it can get.
Yeah, and we're supposed to get hit again this year with another bad winter like we had last year with that polar vortex thing. So be prepared. You may even get it in Texas.
Yeah, I've been hearing stories that we're supposed to have a cooler winter as well. So I guess I'll have to, find a coat somewhere.
Yeah, we have to have coats, more than one, and boots and, everything. So you're just better off staying in the house when you get a winter like that. But what can we do?
Right.
So from what I've read, you come from a musical family. So tell us more about that, and were you pretty much born to play, or did you make up your mind at a later date?
Well, my dad played when I was being born, but he loved the recording, the engineering side as much, as well as the performing. So we always had musical equipment and guitars laying around the house. I wasn't, being in Texas, I was more interested in sports. And then when I was 10, my brother, actually I have an older brother named Sean, and he started picking up the guitar, and I kind of, out of spite, not wanting to be the only guy in the house that didn't know how to play, started picking it up and, continued to annoy the rest of the family with the learning of the guitar.
Did you all have different musical tastes?
Well, me being the younger brother, my taste is what my brother liked. So I looked up to the bigger brother, he could do no wrong. And so, anything he kind of threw my way was kind of what I liked. Being down in Dallas, a lot of those guys were like the Austin guys and more kind of bluesy guys and the Ian Moores and Doyle Bramhalls, Charlie Sexton guys, Steve Ray Vaughan kind of stuff. So I immediately got immersed in kind of a Texas blues kind of guitar playing scene of the kind of player I wanted to be, for sure.
Did you all ever play together, like do a gig, or was it something you just did like at family gatherings?
No, my brother actually, he had a band when he was in high school, and that was my first experience as a guitar player in a band was sitting in for his rhythm guitar player a few times. I guess I had to have been 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
Going out and playing some local bars at 13. I don't know how my parents felt about that, but it was enough to kind of keep me going as far as, hey, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure the patrons of the bar kind of looked twice at you too, or did you look older for your age?
I did. I was always taller than everybody and kind of looked over. I think I'm 34 now. I'm probably look like I'm 50, but with my gray hairs coming in, I think it was more accepted back then. But I don't think anybody really knew, cause I was of their height or taller.
Right.
At 13.
That helps.
Right.
Now, when did you discover you could sing?
Well, I always grew up in choir, because I did love to sing. But my first experience singing solo was actually in high school. I for some reason took theater as my my senior year, and actually scored a lead in a musical. And I remember it was hilarious because my first day of rehearsal, I walked in and the director was like, "All right, well, we're going to start on your singing number. Let's start mapping out your choreography." And she was like, "Okay, go." And I was just kind of like, "What you mean sing? Like right now? Like with no music, you know?" And that was terrifying. But that kind of pulled me out. But you know, that experience kind of brought me out. I wouldn't say I came out of my shell, but it kind of unleashed something in me kind of that I wanted to explore in myself, going, hey, you know what, this is pretty cool. This is a challenge. I mean, singing in front of other people was the most terrifying thing I could ever think of doing. So I figured, why not go for it?
Wow. And just think, if you didn't take that chance, you know, who knows what you'd be doing today?
Oh, gosh, I'd have a job.
Yeah. And we wouldn't want that for you.
No, of course not. I'd be miserable.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you did still kind of have a job, because I see that you modeled. And it's actually funny, because before I have a guest on the show, of course, I do research on them. And when I was going through your Facebook, I think it was, or somewhere, I saw pictures of you modeling for JCPenney, and I thought, my God, maybe that's why you kind of look familiar to me, because, you know, in Chicago, we used to get those big old, you know, catalogs of JCPenney, and then you see the ads and the flyers and things like that. So I think I might have seen you at one point.
Wow, yeah. Well, the modeling business has been something I've been really thankful for, just because it's allowed me to travel the world and to experience a lot of experiences, meet a lot of incredible people. It actually helped me a lot in my music career, just as far as being able to talk about coming out of your shell, having to travel the world by yourself, walk into rooms, you know, sell yourself, you know. You really kind of, when you're alone in a foreign country and don't speak the language and are in a, you know, all by yourself, you can't do anything really but grow. So I'm really thankful for that opportunity. And yes, I still do some modeling here and there. It helps me buy guitar strings, and it's something that I'm really appreciative of. And it allows me to have, you know, a lot of more free time to work on the craft of, you know, the music career for sure.
Yeah, it pays the bills, right?
Yeah.
Where was one of your favorite places that you went to out of the country?
Oh, gosh. I loved going over to England. I think Cornwall, England was probably the most majestic of places, and Stratford upon Avon. Just really cool stuff. You know, I guess I'm sort of a science nerd or whatever, or sci-fi, to where, you know, I love the old stories and of, like, you know, Lancelot and the Knights of the Round Table and King Arthur, and it was kind of like where that story came from, and to see all the ruins, and just, it's so peaceful and beautiful, and the cliffs, and it was amazing, really amazing.
Well, that's one of my goals in life, is to get to England. I don't know what it is about that country, but it just pulls me towards it. The British accent has always been my favorite, so that's on my bucket list. One day I've got to get there, and I do have friends that are there, too, that I'd like to visit, and who knows, one of these days. The only thing that's going to be kind of hard for me is the flying part, because I'm not a good flyer. Are you?
Well, I used to be. These days, I don't know as much. I'm okay with flying, but I'm 6'3", and I don't fit really well on those flights.
Oh, yeah.
And I quit drinking, so there's no more, you know, knocking myself out before the flight. So that makes it a lot more scary.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny. When I first started flying when I was younger, I had no problem with it. And then as I, you know, started to grow up and become an adult and get older, it just got more terrifying as time went by. And I think it's only because as an adult, you do pay attention to what's on the news and what's going on in the world, and that's what brings it out. As a kid, you know, you think of nothing can happen to you. You're invincible, and you're going to do what you're going to do. And it's great to be like that as a child because, like I said, as an adult, then you change. You start paying attention, and you get afraid of too many things.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, now these days if I fly, there has to be a really darn good purpose.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely. Now, your music is mixed with old school and music from today. How did you decide what your style was going to be? Is it just you mixed everything that you love together to start writing music?
Great question. I think it's more of... finding songs, well, you know, it's a long road as an artist when you start out singing and trying to find yourself as an artist to where, you know, most people that start out singing, you know, you're trying to emulate your favorite singer or your favorite vocalist and trying to, you know, bring how those people that you idolize and you love their voice, bring that out of your voice. Now, that takes a while to eventually to where you're not trying to emulate something. You're become something on your own. Basically you find your voice, and that's, you know, what a lot of years, a lot of practice, a lot of time in front of a microphone will do. And I think that this album is came at a great time because I really did feel like I have found my voice, and I think these songs help represent kind of what I'm trying to do vocally. You know, of course, you know, the old school and the new school, you know, if it, that's depending on, I guess who's listening to it. And you know, I just figure it's my voice, and I just hope that, you know, I just try to make it as honest as possible.
And I guess that kind of answers my question about the Beatles song that you did of Come Together. I absolutely love your version of it. And I wondered how you make a song like that, you know, your own, because you definitely own that song and put it in your style.
Thank you so much. You know, well, of course, everybody, you know, if you love songwriting and you can really appreciate what the Beatles brought to music and in their writing. And, you know, it was just one of those things where, you know, I was putting together a band and we kind of went around the circle and asked each other, you know, well, you know, do you know this tune? You know this tune? Well, everybody knows this tune. And we just kind of played, and it kind of became a song that allowed us as a band to come, well, gosh, how cliche, to come together, but to figure each other out and to read off each other. And basically we just started playing, and it just kind of took on its own thing. You know, we kind of just put our touch on it, but we really weren't trying to make it anything except just lay back and just kind of let the song do what it does.
Oh, it's wonderful. And for our listeners out there, go to his YouTube and take a listen, because I think you did an amazing job with that. I fell in love with that. Was the first video I watched of you. And I thought, oh my gosh, if he does this well for a cover song, you know, I can't wait to hear what his original music sounds like.
Well, we wanted to get in the studio and show everybody, you know, we just wanted to basically let the tape roll and play and kind of show everybody kind of what we're about, but that we are real players, and that we just wanted to plug in and play and show some, well, these days, I don't know if it gets shown a lot, but just show a little musicianship, you know. And just, you know, I've got this saying called the vintage theory. That's kind of what we're calling the band at the time. Just like, you know, those guys back then just went in the studio, put mics up on their guitars and press record and let it fly. And that's where I think the best recordings come from. It's just that moment, capturing that moment, that take. There's going to be flaws. Yeah, there's going to, you know, and mistakes. But you hear the honesty. I hope people feel
right.
Honest.
Right. And I love that you said that too, because there's so many singer-songwriters out there that and bands, you know, that are real perfectionists. And there's nothing wrong with that, but then they will take a lot of time because they feel, oh, I should do this better, I should do that better, should do this better. And before you know it, a year has gone by and you're still working on three songs. Whereas with fans, when we hear the music, we don't hear what you guys hear because you are the professionals. So as long as the song sounds good, that's all that matters to us.
Are you kidding? I never said I wasn't a perfectionist. Trust
me.
Getting to that point where I could, because I have a producer's ear. So sometimes it is hard for me to just let go and shut up and sing when I'm because I'm so busy listening. I'm listening to some of my surroundings. I'm trying to produce as I'm singing, and I'm going, wait a second, I'm the front man. I got to sing and play this. Like, let it go. It did take me a long time to get, and I still have a problem with that of just suck it up and just play and play through it.
That's so funny.
you'll catch me doing a guitar solo at least, I don't know, 800 or 900 times. Just full of frustration, and then the next day, you know, because I'll overthink it,
mm-hmm.
and the next day I'll come in after going for a run or whatever, and I'm kind of just, I plug in, press record, take one, boom, it's done, because, you know, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not trying to perfect it.
Right, yeah. So. Well, it's good that you're working on that.
Well, yes,
just remember you said that.
I will. For sure.
Well, your debut album called At the End of the Day will be out next month, which I'm super excited for. Tell us what we can expect to hear on it and how it all came together.
trying to put this the whole making of the record into a few sentences. The record hits a lot of avenues. It hits a lot of genre. I think it's got something for everybody on it. It's got some ballads. It's got some rockers. It's got some mid tempo. It's got some more what would be considered, you know, country crossover to some more blues with some slide guitar. It's got some, you know, songs that you listen to while you're driving, songs you can listen to while you're working out. And songs when you're listening to when you're, you know, trying to make your first kiss on your first date, kind of song. So I like to think of it as more of a musical journey, just where each song is going to take you to a different place. And that's what
I love that you're not sticking yourself in one genre, because people don't really do that these days anymore.
No, and well, that made it kind of a challenge. Is okay, I found my voice, but how are we going to make all of these songs that hit in on so many different areas? How are we going to make them work together? And so that was a great challenge, and something we went in the studio going, okay, you know, how do I make my voice work for all these different types of music, putting it on one album? And so that was a challenge in itself, but I think the album itself, listening from beginning to end, really flows. And what I like out of the albums that I love is just being able to listen to it top to bottom and just going on the journey that the artist is trying to tell.
Yeah, basically telling your own story, I would imagine. I mean, those are all your babies.
Sure, and we really didn't want to make this an in-your-face, hey, here we are kind of album. I mean, the first song on the album is a ballad. We wanted to make this a very intimate record. You know, when I sing, I like to feel like I'm, you know, singing into your ear. You know, some of these songs, I'm looking forward to going and playing them acoustic, because a lot of them are very, you know, intimate songs. To me, we did them full production, and I think any good song that is a good song can be, if you strip it down and just play it acoustic guitar, it's still a good song. I think that's what makes a good song. So
I definitely agree with that.
For sure. So I'm excited to do the full band. Should I just get out there and represent this album for sure.
And now what date does that come out?
I've been told November 10th is what the day that I've been told. It's either the 3rd or the 10th.
Okay.
Is when
we'll watch for it.
Released. And, oh, gosh, when it's released, gosh, people, you know, I'm sure, as you know, Pam, the social media these days, that it's just a part of it. We all have to do it. I'm sure I'll be, you know, screaming to the world from that avenue that it's out.
Well, thank God for social media, because I wouldn't be speaking with you at this point, you know.
Right.
I find a lot of indie artists, and they find me, and their, you know, managers and publicists find me and say, hey, listen to this guy or listen to this band, and there's some great music out there.
There is, and, you know, the blessing and the curse of the social media and the internet and all this, it really has allowed, you know, the you know, the little guy, the guy who doesn't have, you know, the big record label and stuff to get out there. These days you can make a record in your garage and put it out there and go and represent
right.
it
mm-hmm.
And do music. Today the measure of success in the music business is so much different, 'cause you can just get out there and still play and do it because you love it and not have to worry about, you know, I certainly don't, am not in this for the, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, the fame, you know, that's I don't know, that's just not what the music business is anymore. These days it's just about going out and having fun and just supporting yourself. And supporting yourself,
yeah,
you
doing
know,
what
paying,
you love,
just paying
do
the
what
bills.
You were born
that is,
to do.
That is success these days in the music business, is just supporting yourself. So I'm absolutely happy with that.
Well, your album was produced by Grammy-winning producer Ryan Green, and I guess now that I know your brother's name is Sean, it was produced by him as well. What was it like working with them?
Oh, gosh, it was, we had fun. I went up to, Nashville, and we recorded most of the instruments and stuff, and backing tracks, you know, the backbone, bass, and drums there in Nashville on Music Row. And working, you know, Sean's great. He's the real deal. Of course, they both are. But just watching professionals in action and seeing how their brain works and how they interpret music and how they place microphones, it's so much fun. So much fun for me to watch. And then I took a flight to L.A. to do the vocals with Ryan, and we knocked this thing out. I went into L.A. and we sang it in about 8 days left, and we were spent, and we knew everything about each other. We became extremely close, and it was quite an experience, just because, you know, these guys, you know, like Ryan and Sean, they don't settle for anything. They're gonna push you, and that's their job as producer,
right.
is to bring out the best in me. And that's, you know, where I had to put my faith, is that these guys were going to help me represent this music in the best way possible.
Right, exactly. Now, is that what your brother Sean does these days, is produce albums and that for other people?
Oh, absolutely. He's in Nashville. He's full-time, very high-end engineered, he just, I think, got done doing 4 tracks on the Rascal Flatts album. He's done.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I couldn't even start going down the list, but yes, his credentials are. The decision to go to Nashville was not because he was my brother. It was because he is the real. He is great and very talented.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Now, what song do you think best describes you if you had to choose one from the album or even not from the album?
Great question. Trying to pick one. Jeez, put me on the spot. no, so I'm like, oh, I gotta. As far as the songs I love to sing, I love Rosalie. And my favorite chorus to sing has to be "So Contagious," just because, the writing on that song, the chord changes, is just, it's so much fun and challenging to sing because it's not your ordinary pop of 1/5/4 changes. And so I guess Rosalie, just because I felt like it really captured, that song captures the intimacy that I wanted to give on this album, you know, just kind of singing in your ear. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't wait to hear that one. That's one I haven't heard yet. So come on, album.
Right.
I'll be waiting. Now, when you do a live concert, what goes through your mind, and do you have any rituals right before you step on the stage?
I do, gosh. Before I go on stage, I've got to go into my car and put on a vocal warm-up CD. And I know maybe there's some singers out there that are like, warming up? Oh, come on. But, you know, I took voice from a very, really well-known, but very fantastic vocal coach, Linda Septien, who has taught, you know, Linda, Jessica Simpson, Beyonce, all these fabulous singers, took with her for years. So I do it because I want, my voice to last, but mm-hmm. just to get me in the zone and just to where when I get up there, I don't really have to think about things. So I get in my car, you know, I say a prayer, I warm up, and I put on an Ian Moore song. And it's Ian Moore is actually, I'm opening up for him at Port David's Pub on the 20th, which will be so incredibly awesome. But he was kind of the artist that, he was the artist where I said, hey, I'm hearing how that guy does music and gives music and emulates music. He was the guy who put that spark in me, the way he does things. And so I put on his song and I sing along, and it pulls me into that frame of mind, and like, to where just, all right, now it's my turn.
Yeah. That's wonderful that, you know, he's an inspiration, but he helps also protect your voice because you're practicing beforehand or warming up beforehand, you know, with your vocal cords, and you're not just getting out there cold.
Oh, yeah, that's like going and running a sprint without warming up. You know, if you start doing it incorrectly, then all of a sudden the next night you have to sing and it's gone. You know, vocal warm-ups, it's precautionary, but it's just a way to get in and start, you know, tapping into the artist side. You know, it's when you get to the venue, you know, it's very much about, you know, shaking hands, saying hi to people, you know, setting gear up, emotions are high, you know, nerves are running. There has to be a point before the show where it's like, okay, pull it back down. Why are you here? You know, it's time to tap into that artist that, you know, that have something to say.
Right.
And so that quiet time before the show is definitely very, very important for me.
Yeah. And I know that once you get on stage and you start singing all of your, you know, songs, that you lose all of that inhibition and just go with the flow, and you feed off the energy of the crowd, and they feed off of you, and everybody has a fantastic time.
Yeah. There's no feeling like it. And, you know, it's something that it doesn't get old. It's, you're up there and, you know, the energy from just being a part of a team with the guys that are on stage with you, the microphone, just, it's almost, it's, you know, you, as an artist, you know, and a musician, you practice, you know, you have to rehearse, you have to put in the man hours. And the time when you're on stage, that's the fun time. Everything mm-hmm. else is loading and unloading and rehearsal and changing strings and replacing tubes and writing new songs. When you're on stage, that's the fun part. That's where you get to let it go and just let it all out. So it's always a great experience.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I really love doing is going to concerts. I've done that all of my life, and there's nothing like seeing somebody up there that you're a huge fan of. You own all of their records or albums, as they call them these days, or EPs, and you know, you've read everything about them, and you watch everything on TV or wherever, YouTube, and then going to see them in concert. There's no other feeling for us that's better than that at that point. And then it's even better if the band, when they're done, does a meet and greet.
Absolutely.
Do you tend to do that?
Absolutely. These days, you know, in my opinion, you know, the day of the rock star is over. These days it's about shaking, you know, each person's hands. I don't care if there's one person in the room. Like, you're there mm-hmm. to give your art and pray that one person gets it. So it's absolutely essential, I believe, for the artists to get off the stage, put their guitar up, and go and shake people's hands and say, thank you for coming out. Thank you for, you know, buying a ticket. You know, thank you for purchasing a record. You know, it's because, you know, it takes both the listener and the artist to make this business work.
Exactly.
And you've got to be appreciative. You know, I understand if a singer has to save his voice, you know, just don't talk, just nod and give people hugs.
Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate that when I get to go see my heroes, and then they get off the stage and I get to go shake their hand and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, shake and tremble and go, you're awesome. And shake their hands and say, thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for, you know, being on the road and traveling 14 hours to be here and then
right.
putting on a 2-hour show. Like, I appreciate that so much.
Definitely, definitely.
I mean,
and it's funny, too, when you do get to meet somebody that you're a fan of like that, and you totally lose your words. You practice in your mind what you're going to say to that person when you get up to the front of the line, and then you open your mouth and a bunch of gibberish comes out. And
oh, I'm a little shaky schoolgirl. I'll tell you what, you know, and, you know, with the artist that I truly admire and talent that just blows my mind, I do. I you might as well think that I don't know how to speak English.
Yeah.
Now it could be, but it that's the thing, is it could be, you know, Tom Cruise or, you know, mm-hmm. just a more famous guy in the room, and I wouldn't care less. But for the music, for the guys that I, you know, just blow my mind as far as their God-given talent, how in the world can a human being do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do have a hard time. I mean, I'm bitty, I'm
yeah.
like Porky and Pig.
And thankfully, that person that you're there to admire just, you know, takes it all in, understands completely what you're going through, and just says thank you. That means
yes,
so much.
Yes, well, you have to play it off. You have to act. You know, you have to act like you're being cool. Oh, hey, man. Yeah. Hey, what's up? You know, but in your head, you're going, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Oh, that is so funny. That is so funny, but it's so true. And I don't think that'll ever change. I've met one singer that I'm a huge fan of 15 times, and every time I've met with him, and he remembers me because there's a bunch of us women that go see him all the time, and he's, you know, international, so they see him in Australia and Singapore and that. So I'm friends with all of these people on Facebook, and you know, I still do the same thing. I know who he is. He knows who I am. We've had conversations, but that just opening my mouth for the first few seconds, I just kind of put my foot in it, and, you know, like, thankfully he just will start talking, and then it'll calm down, and we'll have a normal conversation at that point. But
oh,
yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm opening up for, you know, Ian Moore, who I, you know, said
mm-hmm.
is kind of my musical mentor on the 20th, and I'm already preparing, like, oh man, I, you know, I got to keep it cool, like.
Is this the first time you're going to meet him?
No, we've been acquaintances for years
oh, okay.
now, so it's definitely mm-hmm. not as bad, but, you know, this will be the first time where he's hearing me, you know, I mean.
Right, professionally.
It's just hilarious because, I mean, I cover, you know, I'll cover a song of his in my shows and stuff, and I'm like, well, I guess we better not do his songs, one of his songs for his show. You know, but I'm sure he appreciates that. But no, he's always been so cool. But it's just, you know, it's just you get that fairy tale of this guy, he's larger than life, and then all of a sudden he's next to you.
Right.
And then it's like, oh my God, he's next to me. Oh my gosh, I've got to go play a show. Okay, all right.
Oh my God, I love that. Well, I have to bring up your song, Don't Fall. I watched the video for it. Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And I have to tell you that I felt every emotion that you had for that song. It's so beautiful. Can you tell us more about that particular song, and did you do the storyboard for it?
The storyboard, well, thank you very much. I'm so glad you love that song. That song is such a powerful song. And it's one of the most, another one of those that I think defines me. It's such a challenge to sing. It's such a, just takes you to that other place. I wasn't on the storyboard. The storyboard was kind of, I had a, you know, a friend in the industry of the modeling industry. I was just, hey, you want to go with me and just hang out and walk around on the street, and my buddy's going to film us. And she was great. And we just had fun, walking around and being silly. You should have seen the other footage that didn't make it. It would have turned into a comedy. We had to keep it real for that one, for that song. But you know, I love it. You know, and it's, that song is, to me, you know, it's, you know, falling in love is such a, it's such a risk, and it's such a, you know, it's a worthwhile risk, but, you know, mm-hmm. that song is just, hey, you know, don't go down this road. You know, getting over that one lost love, you know, teaches us all a lesson. And then when we finally meet somebody that could be that hopeful, you know, the one, what else goes through your mind except, is this worth it? Can I go through this again? Right. You know, is this going to be different? But, oh, yeah, sorry, you're getting me excited. I love that song.
It's definitely a relatable song to practically every human being in the world. So I can't wait for everybody to see it. It's just wonderful. Now, are you planning on doing a tour once your album is released? Are you going, like, through the United States or, you know, in your area only?
We're talking about that right now, actually. That's being sorted out. I think what the plan is that I am going to be doing some acoustic tours. Some maybe, I think I may be even going over to London. But I want to pick up the guitar. I want to do the East Coast. I want to do the West Coast. And I want to go up the middle. I think we are going to start doing the initial, we'll start, yes, it'll be local, but, we are going to be getting everywhere is what is in the plan.
Good. And I'm glad you mentioned in the middle, cause hello, Chicago, Midwest, people forget about it.
Oh yeah. No.
Please don't, although we do have a lot of music here. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that this is a huge music place as well for people to come and play, and locally, you know, or from out of state, and they all come here to play.
Sure. And, oh, gosh, just to be out playing these songs, I mean, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out there. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're ready to hear it. Now, do you have any really funny or strange stories from a gig that you could talk about?
Oh, really funny or strange. Well, I'm sure there are always those, you start the song and the song you've done a million times. And for some reason, you can't remember the first lyric. I've had that happen to me a few times. You know, I'm trying to think of, I don't think I've ever fallen off the stage. Never tried crowd surfing. You know, for the most part, everything's been pretty tame. I'm trying, hold on. Let's see.
Any crazy fan story? There's usually one of those.
No. Well, I mean, you know, there are people, yeah, that have gotten up and maybe had a little too much fun before the show started. but you know, if anything, it's just an overly excited fan, and you know, I'll take that any day. That does bother me.
Right.
But yeah, gosh, I guess, you know, it's something to prepare myself for. But so far, nothing extreme. Where's some wood? I got to knock on it.
Well, that's a good thing then. I noticed on your Facebook today that your single Victory has been selected for Music City Radio Hit or Miss campaign. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Actually, Pam, I just saw that myself.
I'm
going to have to look into it. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was in here, you know, if you can tell, I was playing guitar, and I was on my Facebook, and I was just getting ready to call you. And I saw that, and I was like, wait, what is this? What's going on? And then it was time to call you. So I had to figure out what's going on with that.
Well, for the listeners, I did read the rest of it. It said, listen and rate each artist's song before submitting. The winner will go on to the Track Star competition, and you go to musiccityradio.com. So.
Oh, then whoever's listening, go and listen and vote.
Right. Vote for Eric's song, Victory. I love that.
Yeah. Vote for Victory. Well, Victory is such a great, talk about an inspirational song. That's definitely that pick you up kind of anthem on this album. That, you know, I don't know. To me, when I hear it, I'm hearing, you know, people that are maybe inspired. You know, they're having some maybe addiction, dealing with the disease of addiction to, you know, football players coming out of the stadium. You know, it's one of those songs that's just
right.
It's a fighting song. So hopefully,
yeah, I've actually played it on my show, and I'm going to play it, you know, when I let you go in a few minutes here, as well as Shout and She Don't Know, because those are the three songs that I have. All three of those are on the album?
Oh, yeah.
She Don't Know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great song. All of your music, I love all of it, so don't ask me to pick any favorites, because I can't do that either, so...
Me neither. Well, you ask me.
You know, your favorite, I think, comes into play with when you're playing that song sometimes, like what emotion you're going through. You know, if you want to dance and have fun, maybe you're going to listen to Shout, and that's going to be your favorite at the moment. So, yeah,
sure.
That's how that works with me.
Me too. You know, you get in the car, and you're like, you're looking for a tune to fit your mood. And that's what I think is, you know, is all on this record, is there's kind of something for everything you're kind of feeling.
Most definitely. Now, also, when the album comes out, of course, it's going to be available to download wherever you download your music from. But are you going to have any physical copies?
We are going to have physical copies. We'll be selling those at shows. It will be, you know, on iTunes. And... I don't know if Reverb Nation, if that's a place where you get it, but yeah, it'll be available on iTunes, and we will have some physical copies that we'll be selling at shows. I don't know.
You might want to
throw like
some
having
of those
a physical copy.
You like or you don't like?
I like having that physical copy. I don't know about you, but
yeah, well,
I
that's what I was
going to
say.
Something.
You might want to throw some of those on your website for sale, because I'm a huge fan of having a physical copy of an album that I love, because I love the artwork. I love to see what's written on the inside. I love the lyrics being there, you know, because you don't want to be singing a song and be singing the wrong lyrics and somebody's looking at you like, what?
Well, yes. Well, and it will that'll definitely be available on, it's just ericneff.com, Eric with a K. So that will it'll be up there for sure.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. For our listeners, follow Eric on Twitter at Eric Neff, and that's N-E-F-F, ericneff.com, facebook.com, which is Eric Neff Music, and check out his music on Reverb Nation, SoundCloud, and YouTube. And Eric, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I had a blast speaking with you, and I look forward to all you have to offer us.
Well, thank you so much, Pam. I really, really appreciate you having me on today.
You're so very welcome. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll be watching for the album release.
All right. Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And for our listeners, here is Victory by Eric Neff.
I love how he puts his own spin on that song. Next up, and the last song that I'm going to play by Eric Neff is called She Don't Know.
She wore a little red dress stuck in my mind. I put my beaver leg down, had to cool my jets. Got a little weak spot for sweet talking brunettes, yeah.
Loved what you heard, today, which I know you do. Be sure to pick up his debut album called At the End of the Day sometime next month, within the first 2 weeks of November. If you follow him on Twitter or, you know, like his Facebook page, you'll be able to see when that date is going to be. Pick it up, support your indie artists. It's the only way for them to make money if they don't have a so-called quote-unquote regular job. to pay to make the music, and we can't have that happen. So thanks again, everybody, for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed the interview I had with Eric, and thanks to Eric and Yvonne for setting this up. I really enjoyed it. We'll be back again on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another hour or so of some of the best indie music from around the world. So join us and kick back, relax, and enjoy the music. It'll take an hour or so out of your day, you know, if you're working. It helps you relax, put your mind clear, and then you can get back to work and do what you have to do. Also follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a show set up, whether it's the Music Monday or if it's with a guest. And speaking of guests, excuse me, next week, Wednesday, October 15th, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, I will have singer Essay joining me, and that should be a lot of fun too. He has some great dance music, and we'll be playing some of that as well. So enjoy the rest of your week, have a great upcoming weekend, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Get connected with Take Two Radio Music on Facebook or Twitter at Take Two Radio Music, or for email updates on future shows, follow at Blog Talk Radio. For previous episodes, upcoming guests, and more, visit take2radiomusic.com.